All right. Let's turn to the book of book of Psalms, and we're gonna go there, and it's gonna be in chapter 63, and we'll go to the book of Romans, chapter 1, I believe it is there. And there are two particular words that are there that I want to look at this morning. And I want us to try to understand what them words really mean to each one. Should mean to each one of us. But what I'm going to be letting you know, I'm going to let you know what each one, both words mean to me. And I hope it and pray that it means the same thing. It may mean the same thing, but maybe in a different way. But here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I believe it is, and it's speaking about, this Paul here, he's speaking. And it says right here, it says Paul is speaking. And what does he say in the first 7 or 8 words there? It says, "For I am not." That is positive. That is a positive. It's no negative in that at all. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The word that I want to look at right here, in this one verse right here, is the word ashamed. People today can use that word in many different ways, but a Christian should use that word in one way. And the only way that we should use that word is not no more other kind of text, not in speaking to someone else about what it means to us or what it means to them, but we must say that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's nothing that is written in the word of the living God right here that I need to be ashamed about, because I'm saved by the marvelous grace that he shed his blood there at Calvary. So many years ago, he had me on his mind when he was laying right there on the cross, and when they was nailing the spikes into his hands and feet and put the crown upon his head and then thrust his sword in his side. But while they was doing all of that, they was thinking about one thing. They was thinking about what they was doing, what it was going to mean to them. And what it was going to mean to the individuals who were doing that. And also to the priest at that time. Was that Jesus Christ was soon to be dead. Because of what they was doing. Because no doubt, they said to him so many times there that morning when they was nailing his body to the cross. No doubt there was times that, you don't have much longer now. You don't have much longer now because your head is going to hang. And when your head hangs low, you're going to be dead. But see, they forgot about the scripture. They forgot about the scripture on before. Before they even come on the scene. They forgot about what Jesus said and what God the Father had told the Israelites back in the Old Testament, where the Father told them, you cannot take his life. I give life and I take away life. You can't give it and you can't take it. I am the only one that can do them two things. I'm the only one. And he's right. He is the only one that can do them two things. He gives life to that child, and that where that the child is in the belly and in the womb of the lady there, in the womb of the soon-to-be mother there. The Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father has touched that child, has touched that mother, has touched that father because of what? God wants them to be a family. And God don't want them to be a family of a bickery. They don't want them to be a family of arguing with one another. He don't want them to be a family where they cannot get along. God wants them, and not only them, even God today wants us. And we're not no babes. We're not no babies. We have a bunch of babies in church that are saved. And the reason they're babies is because they just don't want to get in God's word and learn anything. That's where you get to meet. That's what you get from God's word is something that will satisfy your hunger. And we should not be ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of him. Because it's nothing that he's ever done to me to where I can be ashamed of him. But there are a whole lot of people that are ashamed of him. And you can see it within their face on how they look and everything. If they frown or if they got a smile, you can tell. I reckon it was a doctor in the hospital there. And he was talking to the patient. And the patient must have been other words, what the doctor had said that about what he was going to have to go through, the surgery and everything, something must have happened. It didn't go the way the doctor would like for it to go. And it definitely didn't go the way that the gentleman would have liked for it to go. So he got a little disheartened. He got to the point that he didn't want to speak to anybody. His heart had turned back hard. His face looked like a face of somebody who went out here and took a stone or rock and chiseled his face into that rock because it was so grainy. It was so hard. And he didn't know what to do. Because he knew that he was going to have to give up a whole lot. Going to have to give up a whole lot. And you know something? We as people, sometimes we do have to give up things. Sometimes we have to give up something that we don't think we can give up. But God will always provide something else. And this gentleman, he looked so sad. Had a frown on his face. Every time his wife come in there and every time his children would come in and see him, they'd ask him. She'd say, "Honey, what's the matter? You look like you swallowed a prune. You look like you have lost your best friend." And she says, "Honey, but you haven't lost your best friend. You know who your best friend is, don't you?" He says, "I don't think he's my best friend no more. Because why did he allow this to happen?" Let me tell you the reason why I think God allows things happen to good people, to Christians, that comes to church on a regular basis, comes hobbling in. Faith. God wants to build up our faith. And God, I think God realizes too that we are the type of people and the type of individuals that our faith will continue on dwindling as the Lord keeps on blessing us. As the Lord keeps on answering our prayers. And we get to the point that we don't pray, we don't talk to him as much as we used to. He wants us to talk to him all the time. It's some people like here now that used to be in church. Used to teach Sunday school, used to be a deacon in the church, there's some pastors, yes. Used to be faithful to God, used to be behind the pulpit, but now they just sit in the congregation now. What's the matter? Sin had come in on the scene. Satan knew where that crevice was. Satan knew where that little crack was. So where he could just start in. And as he entered the crevice or the crack, and as soon as he goes in a little further, it's going to get wider. It's going to get wider. See, that's what Satan is. You know, Satan, they had a commercial on the other night about a program you need to come on within in the next segment. And she's on, man. She says, "I got to leave here. I got to go somewhere else. I can't watch that." And what it was about animals. But the particular species it was a snakes. I mean, snakes. The cobras with the flat with the flat head about that long, damn, coming down. And he was doing that right there. See, that's like Satan. See, Satan the devil. All he has to do is just come and just put his body right to that crevice that's in that wall. And as he lays there, his body will be that, and it will go through. His body will thin on out. Now how that happens, I do not know. Only God knows. And I sure if he ain't told me. Because I probably never would sleep. Because I am terrified of a snake. If a snake shows up around my house, I call Shelby.
And I call the son across the road.
I mean, here was either last summer or summer before last, my daughter had made a wreath and put it out there on the carport, a great big leaf. I'm a wreath. And it was a bird up there, it was a bird that had made a nest in that wreath. And had laid some eggs. And evidently, the eggs cracked when it did, had little baby birds there. In the nest. Back in that wreath, they'll fly out. I mean, it was thick. I mean, a whole lot thicker than that right there. Probably the thickness of them was as thick as the whole thing of that.
It's one of those mesh.
The mesh type and everything. And we come on inside. I think it was a Saturday, I believe it was.
We had Christine, yeah.
Yeah. And bless Pat. They walked outside. Side door, and she opened the door back up. She says, "Donna, where'd that blood come from? Are you bleeding?" Well, me, because I check myself, make sure I won't cut somewhere. But a black snake, I believe it was, had got up in that wreath and got a hold of the baby.
Actually, it was two of them, to make your story short. Christy and Christina come up there. We were fixing to go back out. Go somewhere. And Christy said, "Mom, there's a snake wrapped around the grill pan." It was a black snake. Sure enough, that snake was wrapped around the grill. And I said, "Let's get in the house." I said, "We'll call Roy." Went in the house and looked. That was the biggest one in my kitchen window.
On the outside.
Roy, bless Pat, Roy went home, but Scotty come down, his son. Anyway, he got rid of them. And we had told Rainworth, the priest, to come get the grill on carport because we was giving it to him. Well, he came and was gone. Chris and I was gone. And he came and moved the grill. It was one of the grill. Under the grill.
That day.
We had four snakes that day.
No, it was five. Cause one of them come down from off of the hill.
Well, that was the fourth.
Well, I don't know. It was two. It was put to you this way.
Two many.
No, it was one too many. Too many. It was just too many.
Anyway, between Roy and Raymond, we ended up getting them.
All of this happened within probably 30 or 45 minutes. I mean, here it is. They wanting to sell and move. And I said, "Who's going to buy the house now? Ain't nobody going
to
buy it now."
Needless to say, that wreath went off that car. And it was behind his shop.
I'll tell you something. But they can. But they can't flatten their body out.
Terrified of them. I go back in the house and I said, Lord, ain't you coming back today? Because I'm terrified of them. But they can, truly. A snake, it don't make no difference how big around they are, how long they are, anything. But they can take their body and they can flatten it out as thin as a piece of paper.
It's
thin as this right here. Ooh.
Okay.
I mean, and that's how Satan is. Satan can design himself in a way to where the people. Because he can change his body in so many different ways. But you know something? He's no kin to God. He's no kin to me. And God created the heavens for me. And for you. And for all the individuals that was birthed into this world. Individuals, now, and that's speaking about people. The individuals that has a soul. An animal does not have a soul. The snake does not have a soul. One thing that they have the sense of protection, that they will protect themselves at all costs. And even the two dogs we got, I know that either one of them dogs turn on us anytime they want to. Because see, that's what they're created for. They're created for protection. From what? From their wiles. Because that's where the dogs come from. Come from the wolf. That's where it started. So they have some of the wolf in them. And that wolf will protect their individuals, their pups. And it doesn't make no difference how large the individual is or how large the other animal is that wants their pups. They will fight them and they'll do everything they can to take their life first. But over here in the book of Psalms, and just one verse I think is there that I'm going to read. But it's talking about something else, totally different really, in a way. But it's speaking about satisfaction. Or satisfied. Since I have been saved, I know that I have questioned God. I've even argued with God on some things that I didn't understand. But I thought I could change God.
I thought I could change God's meaning of it or God's way from that. But I couldn't. I could not change God's mind. So what I had to do, I had to go back and I had to realize some things. That well, the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done at Calvary, he done it all for me. He done every bit of that for me. He took every sound that come from the hammer that went down on that nail, and then and the nails and nails, and when they placed the crown upon his head, he took all of that. And I'm supposed to be, and I was supposed to be satisfied with that. But I'm not. I wasn't satisfied with that because he did not have to lay his life down for me, because it should have been me. I should have laid my own life down now. He had done no harm. He had done no evil to anybody. And where did he stay at? Where was he at the time? At the time, he was in the places where today we talk against. And we say we can't go there, because it's not appropriate for us to go there. But it says right up here in Psalms 63, in verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So I have seen thee in this sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night watch, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wing will I rejoice. He's telling us, when he saved me, he was saying, Donnie, you're saved now. Your name is written there in the Lamb's Book of Life, with the blood of the Son there, where he pinned your name down. You don't need to worry. Only thing you need to do is be satisfied for what my Son done for you. See, you didn't have to go and die. You didn't have to go and allow someone else to take and put your long spikes in your hand and in your feet and the crown of thorns upon your head that brought out the blood inside of your flesh. You didn't have to go through all of that. I spared you for that. And when Jesus Christ, when my Son, my only begotten Son, he was the only Son that God had, and he had been forgotten about. People had forgot about who his Son was. But if they hadn't forgot about who his Son was, then Lucifer would not have failed. He would have not threw Lucifer out of heaven. But see, Lucifer and all the other individuals at that time, they're saying, I'm bigger than you are, God. And they're still saying it today. People won't even trust him. And you know the reason they won't trust him? You know the reason they don't give, they don't come to the house of God? And this is what I think, and it's what I believe. The reason they don't come to the house of God, the reason they are in the shape that they're in, and the reason that they're so worn out and so tired and so frail looking is because that they do not believe in something that they cannot see. They have to see something. That's just like the atheist. The atheist. And I had an atheist tell us on a TV program, news program. He said, I'm going to tell you something. And I forgot who he was speaking to, the individual that was giving out the news and everything. He said, I'm going to tell you the reason that I'm not a Christian. And the reason that I'm an atheist. A reason that I don't believe in God. The reason I don't believe in God, because you cannot believe in something that you cannot see. And look at what he's doing. That's going all around the world, not just in the United States, but all around the world, telling people, how can you say that you love someone or something that you cannot touch, you cannot smell, you can't see, you can't shake their hands, you can't go up to them and speak to them one-on-one? But the commentator, he said this. And I don't know the individual, I don't know what his life is all about. It was the first time I seen him, but it got me interested in what they was talking about, talking to that atheist. I wanted to see what he had to say. And after he said all of that, he said, I'm going to ask you something. You say that you do not believe in God because you cannot see God and you cannot touch God and you can't even smell anything about God. But I want to ask you a question. We're right here in this room, right? He said, yes, sir, we are. We are in here, just me and you. And we are talking about a subject that I know about. And I'm just speaking my heart. And when the atheist said that, the commentator, he come back to him. And he says, you just said something right there that I don't understand. He said, what's that? He said, well, you was talking about you couldn't see God. That's the reason you don't believe in God. And you can't touch him. That's the reason you don't believe in God. You can't smell what God is, what it smells like. There's a reason you don't trust God. It's all these things that you can come up with. There's a reason you don't trust God. But then you said something else a few minutes ago. It wasn't about that particular, but really it can go down to that fact. He says, you said something there that intrigued me in a way. He says, what you said was, that's the reason. That's the reason I don't trust in God, because I cannot see Him. Yes, I have a soul just like everybody else. But my heart does not feel His presence. My heart does not intimidate me and put my trust in God. He said, can you say that? He said, yes, sir, I did. He said, I want to ask you another question. You said that you don't trust God. You said there is no God because you cannot see God. He said, yeah, that's right. I guarantee you, you can't see God. I can't either. But I believe in Him and I trust Him. He said, I don't. He said, no, wait a minute. You said something a few minutes ago. I got to go back on it now. And I got to tell you. Has anybody ever opened up your chest and took a saw and went down there and cut your bones where they were going now and do a bypass or do a heart transplant or anything? Have you seen your own heart? He said, no, I haven't seen it. Matter of fact, I ain't had no surgery. He said, you haven't? But you said that the reason you don't trust God is you ain't seen God. How can you trust your own self? When your heart is inside of your body pumping blood to your brain, pumping blood throughout your body. He says, you don't even believe what you even say. You can't even trust your own self. And all of that was said. And when it was over with, the gentleman got up and he shook the commentator's hand. He said, I've been out and I went to news broadcast. I went to these TV programs and they've had me on there where I was sat down between 3 and 4 and 5 people, the theologians, preachers, evangelists. He says, I've never in my life has ever anybody explained it to me the way you explained it. He said, you brought it back to me. It was on me. It wasn't on God, it was on me. Because I can't see my heart. I can't see mine. But guess what? I know it's there. You know why? Because I'm a walking and I'm a talking. And I'm a standing, and I have the strength that God gave me. And it's running through my veins, and every time I arm or something like that up against something, and if it don't bruise, it maybe breaks the skin, yes, that blood comes out. Sure is. Blood comes out. And praise God, and you know what kind of blood it is? It's the Jewish blood. Because I was transplanted. I had a blood transfusion with the Lord Jesus Christ that night when I accepted Him as my Savior.
he just whispers in a small, still voice. Says, son, now, we're going to have a blood transfusion. We're going to relieve you of all of your sinful blood. And we're going to put new blood running through your veins. I mean, you know, somebody would look at me and say, you're crazy.
No big deal.
Hey, I love it. I mean, that ain't nobody proves that I want Satan. I can't prove it either. But to me, when I thought about it, man, it sounded good to me. So I'm still saying it. As long as it sounds good to me, I'm going to still say it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Satisfied. Are you satisfied tonight? Are you satisfied this afternoon for the Lord? Are you satisfied with Him? Are you? Or are you ashamed of Him? Are you satisfied with the Lord? Or are you ashamed of Him? There's so many people like you that's ashamed of the Lord. And I went back in this morning after I got here to church, went back in and checked the phone messages on there. And it had on there 21 calls. 14 of them had been missed calls. That they just called and hung up, and they didn't leave no message. And I just went on delete them, all in the last one. Until I come to the ones, there was five on now that had been just placed on in the last 3 or 4 days. You know what the majority of them was? About just. All you have to do is give us a call and we can lower your interest rate. I bet you can, but why don't you? They won't do that. But then it says, and then had another call on it, says, we have your payments of what is due now for last year's schooling. For the year.
They keep calling him about student loans.
I know. I mean, they call him about everything now. But had one individual call. And he was the third one on that. And when I got that phone call, I mean, I had to get to do some thinking. And I said, well, Lord, I mean, I've been wanting to do that in the habit. Now it looks like, I mean, I've got a phone call now, and he's asking me about Sunday night. He says, I've been by there 3 times, and I don't know if y'all just don't have Sunday night services anymore at all, but right now we don't have them. They quit them where I go to church at. They just quit them. But I need to be refueled every day. And I need all the energy that I can get from God's Word. And says, I'm going to keep coming back because I don't think, because I've asked some people about the church. I've asked some people about how many comes. Some of them don't know. But I've had some say, well, if you go out there, it ain't no need but carrying one Bible. And it's not the authorized 1611. It's the King James Bible. That he's the only Bible he's going to use. So if you want to hear a word, go on out there. I don't go out there.
Matter of fact, I don't even go nowhere. It's what that individual was telling this sound like a young man.
Why don't they come Sunday morning?
Well, see, that church has a Sunday morning service, but they've just done away with Sunday night service. And the way he talked and everything, I ain't so sure they even have a Wednesday night service. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, it is really, it's bothering me in a way because we don't have it. But I know that we're small in group. And I know that some of you, you can't drive at night, and I understand that. And God understands that. But I want to let you know something right now. Everybody's here. If you can't drive at night, you don't feel like you're able to drive at night, and to come here and be in safety and everything's the issue, where you won't have an accident or somebody won't run into you or something, or you won't stumble and fall or whatever. All you have to do is call me. You call me anytime you want to. If you want to just call me, wait until 4 o'clock in the afternoon and give me a call. And I say, Pastor, I need a ride. I'd be more than glad to come by there and pick you up. And if I come by and pick you up, I won't be driving. Be my wife. Because she don't let me drive. But that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm trying to convince her. And I'm working on my daughter. I almost got her convinced, but that wife of mine, she's hard. She is hard. She's like one of these old walnuts I hear. I mean, it's just hard to crack. I know.
You can tell me your problems later.
All right. Well, I know I'm through anyhow. But, no, I really am. But, hallelujah. All right. Well, I know you're going to have a discussion with me when we're going home. I know that. So I'm ready for you. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. And Father, we're so thankful. And Father, that I am so satisfied for everything that you do and everything that you have done for me, Father. And everything that you're doing for the church and everything that you're doing for the people that is here. Now, Father, we have to have decisions we're going to have to make. Because, Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that you don't want to see the doors closed. But, God, I pray. I continue to pray, Father, that you will speak to someone else's heart. Father, that they may give me a call. And, Lord, that they may would want to come to church on Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then maybe they may just want to come and join the fellowship, Father. And just join us together in serving the living God that we serve, Father. Now, Father, go with these people, we pray. Give them the afternoon that they deserve, all the rest and all the care that you can give them. And, Father, be with Sister Nancy. She goes to work. Speak to her heart. And, Lord, if someone there may speak to her, or she may speak to someone else, and then you, Lord, can put it on our heart to go back and just say to them once again, how you doing today? That's all we have to do. That's all people want to hear, is how we are doing. And they just want us to speak to them. have a little conversation with them. Father, we pray and we ask God that you will go with us this week. Be with us and lead us to someone that's lost. Say, Father, that they may be saved before it's everlasting too late. This week would be a good week. This day would be a good afternoon, a good day, Father, for somebody to get saved. We thank you, Father, and we love you. And we love these people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.